We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Roto Grinders NBA Morning Grind, Wednesday, November 16th. Nice slate of games on tap. I'm the Looch over here with my good friend Will Priester. What's going on, Chief Justice? How are you?
I'm good, man. Another day, another dollar, another slate, another pop collar. I was just trying to do some rhyming there. Perhaps it worked out, perhaps it didn't. Perhaps it was cool, perhaps it was corny. We will never know. But what we can tell you is this is a slate to break down, and we are here to help you find folks, make some early morning decisions that hopefully won't change too much during the NBA. That was dripping with sarcasm, as we know already. By the time you get this podcast, someone could already be ruled out in between the time we post it and the time you get to it. But nevertheless, it's going to be fun. Look out, world. We're back in the podcast sphere.
We'll get you guys started. Guys and girls, get ready for the morning grind. We've been doing a lot of shows this week. Hopefully you've been enjoying our entertainment. Food for Thought was a blast. And, you know, we're going to keep that energy rolling till the Super Bowl. It's always a good time.
Keep that energy rolling. You know it.
Hey, Devontae Smith got that birthday touchdown. We were also on the Monday Night Pre-Lock show for Showdown, and what a strange game that was. This is an NBA podcast, though, but weird little game there.
So, look, let me just say that Philly did everything they could to lose that game. That, like, there's no doubt in my mind that Philly's a better team, but, Luch, they did everything they could. As bad as they play, they were in the game the whole time. That Dallas Goedert almost gets his whole neck ripped off. They don't call an obvious face mask. And that, listen, doesn't get more obvious than that one. And I mean, if I'm him, I would have fumbled that football with the way he was getting piled on. They didn't call it. They get the ball back. Jalen Hurts bombs one to Quez Watkins, and we talked about Quez Watkins being somewhat of a difference maker on Showdown. Quez Watkins, untouched, rolls around, gets up off the turf, and begins to run and fumbles the football. Like, Philly did everything they could to lose that game, and they still almost got the ball back. A minute 46 left. Taylor Heinicke runs around and takes a double knee in the backfield, what would have been probably, 10, 15-yard sack? Something to that effect? And ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Graham runs around the corner and pops him. Everybody was saying it looks like he was trying to pull up. I get it. But not only that, they also could have called it on Hassan Reddick. We're talking about Graham. Hassan Reddick hit him first.
Nobody's talking about two people hitting him. And
I'm sitting here like everybody's piling up on Graham. Did they not see Hassan Reddick hit the man first? Oh, my God. Philly did everything they could to lose that game. They've got the monkey off their back. They should be able to run and play free again. And folks, this is an NBA pod, so just bear with us. Me and Luch have been hanging out all week, and so we're just kind of reminiscing about everything that happened. And look, man, guess what? I got to tip my hat to you, brother. You know, you talked about this possibly being a bad game for Philly, and lo and behold, they go into Washington and lay a stinker as a team. And then to seal the deal, there's a defensive touchdown with no time left. I mean,
hey, we can intertwine that. Ugly. We can intertwine that with daily fantasy sports because there were some idiotic swings with the stat corrections after that game. I'm glad my lineup said no business at the top because I would have jumped out a third story window if I had like a 200K stat correction. So, I wish those the best that were involved in any of that. Seriously, that is a mental health swing and a half. Anyway.
Imagine looking at your phone and saying, oh my goodness, I did it. And you lay your head on your pillow and out of excitement, you wake up again that night, Luch, and realize that you went from $200,000 to like $200. Woo, buddy.
Yeah. And
I hope nobody has experienced that.
It's like from 5th to 12th place in a contest with 80,000 people probably because that's the way daily fantasy sports is now. And that's why the needle for sports betting is sticking straight up north. And you know what? There's still some good prize pools out there. So let's jump into the NBA slate for Wednesday because this is a good one. We're going to start right off the bat, and we're going to talk NBA basketball now. We're going to start with your Charlotte Hornets, who are hosting the Indiana Pacers. And some of the injury news here is on the Pacers side, and it's a big one. Tyrese Halliburton is questionable. So here's some news that is definitely going to change for better or for worse, or there's just going to be some movement for sure based on whether or not Halliburton's in or out. If Tyrese Halliburton plays, it's a fantastic spot for a guy that's 9,300 against the Charlotte Hornets. If Tyrese Halliburton does not play, then you're looking at, in my opinion, TJ McConnell on both sites at sub 4K. No doubt about it. Definitely want to look into him. Buddy Hield is still sub 7K, playing really, really good basketball, really consistent stuff. And Isaiah Jackson gets a weird little bump without Halliburton on the court. Now, he's barely logging any minutes, so he's not a FanDuel play at 5,100. But at 3,900 on DK, I don't mind taking some dart throws here at Isaiah Jackson for large field tournaments only. So, there's going to be a lot of interest in this game regardless of Halliburton's status because of the matchup with Charlotte. Miles Turner's been very good as well. We know what his upside is with blocks. And when he actually gets real minutes now that Sabonis is not a Pacer. So a lot hinges on Tyrese Halliburton, Chief. It's impossible to know right now, but what's your kind of macro analysis here?
Yeah, I think if we're approaching this game, it feels like TJ McConnell should be the guy. I'm not sure how this would impact Benedict Mathurin. Like, he could be another guy. He's a little bit more expensive than, or a lot more expensive, $2,000 more expensive than TJ McConnell on DK. But You know, I think he'd probably enter the conversation, especially with Duarte out as well. Like, it feels like he should be able to have, you know, really solidified minutes here. You know, Jalen Smith, what would happen with Jalen Smith's minutes? What would happen with, you know, as you already said, Isaiah Jackson's minutes? How would that impact Mr. Turner? You know, if Turner gets 30-plus minutes in this game, he crushes. He's been – some of these games, he's been 26, 27 minutes, and he's still been crushing. So this is an interesting spot, but I'm always going to take big men against Charlotte. And this is a guy that can actually step out and shoot the three a little bit. So we're going to get, you know, Mason Plumlee, you know, going out to the three-point line to try to stop Miles Turner, which gets me very excited from a DFS perspective.
Yeah, without Haliburton on the court, I didn't even toggle Duarte off, but Mathurin has a 33% usage over 130 minutes, which is a big number, and it's starting to be a real sample size there. So I think Mathurin is squarely in play for tournaments, and we're going to have to see some props if they come out post-Haliburton news. There's a lot to like here if Haliburton's out. And if Halliburton's in, there's a lot to like about Haliburton himself and maybe not so much these other pieces we're talking about. Talk to me about
this. Yeah, for sure. Morning. I mean, I'm kind of out on Charlotte right now. Until I just kind of watch this team a little bit more, that's pretty much where I am. So with LaMelo back, like, I don't feel like these guys are as valuable. So, like, LaMelo's 8,900, and I think Dennis Smith Jr., if he's healthy, he's not going to play Wednesday, but I'm saying if he's still there, I think he's still going to play some minutes. And you've got Terry Rozier still sitting at 8K. I'm not a fan of that price with LaMelo back, so he's out. I'm actually not a fan of Kelly Oubre at 6,500 with LaMelo back, so he's out. Gordon Hayward is out, but I don't really care about that. Mr. McDaniels, he's playing a few minutes, about 25 to 28 minutes a night. You've got P.J. Washington, who at 5,300 is probably the best play. But all in all, man, I'm just not really into Charlotte with all the prices. And now Mason Plumlee's 5,900. I know he put up 42 fantasy points against Orlando. That's an outlier. I know he put up 39 and 40 against Portland and Miami. But generally speaking, he's not going to be a 40 fantasy point per game scorer. I'm just kind of out on these guys, Luch. I'm not interested in playing the Hornets because of the prices.
I actually like LaMelo. 19 shot attempts, played 34 minutes, which is really encouraging. 4 of 15 from downtown, 1 of 9 from downtown in the first game against Miami. So he's shooting 5 of 24. Look out. If LaMelo gets hot and maybe gets a couple steals, you know, he's good for a 3 or 4 steal game once in a while. This Indiana team has the third worst defensive efficiency and plays at the fastest pace in basketball. I think LaMelo is a fantastic tournament play, especially if there's Pacers chalk and maybe you force a run back here with LaMelo. It's not safe. It doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel right. But I think there's 50-point upside with LaMelo, and I'll leave it at that. We got two more 7 o'clock games, Chief. If you want to move on to Minnesota and Orlando, go for it. If you have any post-thought about LaMelo after my little spiel, go for it.
Yeah, no, I'm good, man. I like the call. Minnesota, Orlando, I think the big question is, once again, does Paolo Banchero play? I think we've seen the impact, even early in the season, that he's had. If he's out, this team is probably going to struggle mightily. And another reason is because they've already got a couple other guards out, like Fultz and Cole Anthony. So I do think some of their primary guards being out is hurting. Gary Harris not playing. They've got Suggs. They've got Wagner. But all in all, if Paolo Banchero is out, like, I don't want to play anybody from Orlando. And then now we're kind of trying to decide, hey, who do we want to play from Minnesota? What I will say is Rudy Gobert is now at the price where I feel like I can play again at 7K. When he was 8K and 8,500 and 8,900, I just I'm never going to play Rudy Gobert at those prices. But at 7K, I don't mind taking a shot. He's got 40, 50-point upside in tournaments. I can take. I don't mind taking a shot at 7K. You know, Anthony Edwards is 7,500 in this spot. I don't mind taking a shot on him. Karl Anthony Towns, I don't mind taking a shot on him. But that's kind of where I am in this spot. Kind of taking some shots on some of these main pieces here. D'Angelo Russell at 6,200. I know he put up 53 the other night. I'm going to consider that to be outliers. I'm not going to be playing much D'Angelo Russell this season until we see some consistency in the 35-plus department in terms of fantasy points.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at FanDuel, and Gobert's 8K, so I'm out over there. Karl Towns is consistently priced on both sites, 9K on FanDuel, 91 on DK. And he's gone for 50-plus in three of his last four games on DK. I have no problem playing him on either site. Now, if Paolo's out, then you got to worry about the blowout and risk and him maybe playing no more than 30 minutes. And that goes for all the Minnesota starters. So, you know, if your glass is half full or you want to force an Orlando run back, the problem is, who's it going to be? Wendell Carter Jr. is also questionable. He's way too expensive for me on DK. And maybe it's Jalen Suggs if everyone else is out and he kind of keeps them in the game if he gets hot. But it's tough to really want to play some of these Magic guys under any circumstance other than Paolo if he's in, and he's getting pretty expensive as well. So it's a tough game to really want to go out of your way and get exposure for. I'm kind of on the same ballpark with you here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Tough game.
OKC and Washington. We have SGA, 9,400. What does this guy have to do to be 10K on DraftKings, Chief? What does he have to do? Score 75 in three games or what?
Look, let's just let him keep staying where he is, and let's just keep playing him. He gets a matchup with Washington today at 9,400. I mean, he's got to be one of the favorites. Secretly, I bet the Clippers wish they still had SGA. But I won't go there right now. The guy's been scoring 30-plus points in so many games this season, Luch. It's starting to get a little bit abnormal. And he's been sitting around 28.5 on the books most days, 27.5 to 28.5. Interesting to see where he comes out tonight. Feels like he might finally hit 30.5. But in terms of fantasy points at 9,400, he's got to be one of the top plays on the board facing the Washington Wizards. I like him a great deal. Don't really want to play anyone else from OKC. And then even on the Washington side, I'm kind of not thrilled about the Washington Wizards as well overall. Like, Porzingis has been fine, but, you know, he's 8,400 now. Like, how often is he going to put up 50 fantasy points? Not as often as you think. Poku's been a guy who's been playing minutes. He's been okay. You know, at 5,300, I definitely think this is a spot for him. I know I'm going back and forth just kind of talking about the game here. Denny Avdija, another guy that's starting to play big minutes. He would probably be the one guy that I would be most interested in. But guess what? Bradley Beal's going back in the fold. So this team overall is just really weird. I'm just not sure, you know, how much exposure I want to get to this team. And that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, Porzingis, my favorite play on the Wizards side of the ball. I think you're kind of leaning that way. Gun to head as well. It's what it sounds like. So I agree there. SGA is a really nice tournament play on FanDuel, and we'll see what kind of ownership he carries on both sites. You know, the anti-SGAers for Wednesday will say, well, the Washington plays okay defense and they play really slow. Well, you know, we could play devil's advocate and say SGA has taken 20-plus shots in almost every game he's played, and he just ripped Boston for 37 real points, 59 DK points. And before that, he ripped the Knicks for 63 DK points in kind of an anomaly of a game. But he's almost matchup proof at 9,400. The only way he's going to kill you if he gets hurt or if they are down by 30 in the second quarter, because he's still going to play the third quarter. Like, he's still young enough that they're going to leave him out there for, you know, three quarters, and he's going to get the volume and he's going to chuck. So I have no qualms playing SGA any which way possible, any game format, any contest type on DraftKings at that price. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in with you 100%.
Now, Trey Manning, Trey Mann and Darius Baisley are out. So if there's anyone else in this game I like for tournaments, it's got to be Poku, though, Chief. It's got to be Poku, especially with Baisley and Trey Mann out of the rotation. I don't mind taking some shots at Poku. We've seen him play some really crazy minutes every now and then. And he's, you know, ripping down rebounds. He's filling up peripherals. He's 5,300. He really does have kind of 7X, 8X upside at 5,300 on DK. So he's a little bit more expensive on FanDuel, a little bit tougher to play. But I think he's squarely in the tournament pool, probably on both sites, but more so on DraftKings, in my opinion, for me. And boy, his picture is something. He is definitely an interesting individual. You know, they love him in Oklahoma City, though, Chief. I was in Oklahoma City in March at a good friend's wedding, and I went in, Oklahoma City's a really cool city. Clean, a lot of history, a lot of good spots there. It's probably somewhere I'd never go unless I had friends there and went to visit or, like, went out of my way to travel to. But I went into, like, a random, like, OKC, like, gift shop or something like that. Poku had his own section on the wall with his own, like, entire line of apparel. They had, like, Poku fanny packs, an entire section of Pokusevich apparel and promo items and signing and autographs. They didn't have any SGA stuff. But they had a whole wall of Poku stuff. So I thought that was something else. And that has nothing to do with daily fantasy sports, but sometimes it's nice to take a deep breath, take a break, and go off the rails for a minute.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Like, I like Poku. Like, the price is, like, exceptional. And the story was even better.
Thank you, sir. Let's move on. 7:30 Eastern, Toronto and Miami. A lot of questionable tags in this one. For Miami, it looks like Bam is questionable, coming off a couple of really nice games. He's really hitting the boards lately. Tyler Hero, he didn't travel with the team. So, you know, tough little grind of a matchup, Miami and Toronto here. But we know Tyler Hero's out. Bam's questionable. Max Drew's 5,900, getting tough to play him comfortably. But, you know, that opens the door for Caleb Martin to see a ton of minutes. He's boom or bust, but Caleb Martin's in the tournament pool as long as Tyler Hero's out. You could say the same for Gabe Vincent. But Jimmy Butler here at 9K on DK and 94 on FanDuel. I mean, you take Hero out of the equation. He's been in the starting lineup, taking some usage away and some ball handling from Butler. Playing 35-plus minutes. You got to like Jimmy Butler, despite the matchup against Toronto, at least for a high floor purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. I like Jimmy Butler at 9K. I don't mind this spot against Toronto. I think I did see something to where their defensive efficiency does dip when Pascal Siakam doesn't play and he's out. And, you know, Freddie Van Vliet is still questionable with his illness. Gary Trent Jr., you know, he's questionable. And so it would be interesting to see what happens if all these guys sit yet again. Now, Delano Banton is, you know, his price has been increased, but I wouldn't be playing him at 5K, not in Miami. I think this is just an interesting spot overall. If there was anybody I was going to play from the Toronto Raptors, it's probably OG. Like, he feels like the guy to play to me. Scotty Barnes is just not getting it done in these spots, man. Like, it's just not getting it. Took 9 shots against Detroit. Like, what is that? We've got to see some better performances from Scotty consistently. I'm not going to assume he gets it done against Miami, but OG's been fairly consistent at 7,200. This is a guy that does have 40-point upside, 40, 50-point upside in the right conditions, and he could absolutely hit it here.
Yeah, Fred Van Vliet dealing with the illness. We'll have to see what's up with him. Our good friend Chris Boucher getting some burn. They're running out of bodies. I mean, Precious is out as well. Boucher up to 6K on DK. That's at the point where I am sorry to say to our good friend in 5,900.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
FanDuel that I am out on Chris Boucher, unfortunately.
Yeah, man, good friend of the pod, Mr. Boucher. Minutes have been there though, Luch, but like you said, we can't get involved now at that price. Like, he could very well play 15 minutes and then that's a wrap.
And Gary Trent's questionable too, and he's been terrible, and this could just be a damn circus, and there could be some weird rotations in this game. It could be a Malachi Flynn game if all of these guys are out. So Toronto is one of the teams you definitely want to monitor throughout the day, because this is a game where a lot could change.
Yes, indeed, my friend. Yes, indeed.
Probably not worth giving many more hypotheticals at the moment. So let's move on to Boston and Atlanta. Jason Tatum continues to do Jason Tatum things. We've talked about him a lot the last 7 days. Jaylen Brown continues to be very good as well. He's up to 8,700, though, on DK. Marcus Smart is probable for Wednesday. So what's your take on Boston and the Celtics?
Yeah, I think this is a good spot. We keep talking about Jason Tatum. It feels like every podcast, and I mean, man, he's been playing so well. But the other night, though, Luch, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 3 blocks. And on DK, equated to 54 fan points, which is basically what he should be putting up at this price. Once again, I'll say it. I said it once. I'll say it again. As long as Jason Tatum is 10-9, I'm not going to be playing much Jason Tatum. Like, I need him to get back down into, like, the high 9, mid 9K levels for me to just start to consider playing him again. The problem is Lucci's probably going to score 49 to 52 fantasy points in that range the way he's playing right now. And at 10-9, that's not enough. Unless we're on, like, a two-game slate where 49 fantasy points is going to be valued heavily. I just can't do it. So, you know, the one guy that I've been on Boston has been Al Horford. We got at least 5,700. I'm not as interested in playing him. Not as interested. I do think he still can. I still think there's some meat on that bone. But, you know, we're getting close. Don't look now, Luke. Grant Williams is 5,200. I can't play these guys at these prices. I just can't. John, 8,900. Jose. Boston's a great team. I don't think I can play any Boston Celtics today.
I'm with you. Other than Tatum, I think I'm okay on Boston. Atlanta's really interesting. Trae Young's 94 on FanDuel. He's been above average the last couple of games, which isn't what we're accustomed to with Trae Young. You know, the box score looks fine. No 50 bombs recently, though. I think Trae Young's okay, even in a tough matchup for tournaments. Probably not going to carry a ton of ownership in this matchup. Where there has been damage done against Boston from time to time is in the paint. And Clint Capella, I don't know where the philosophy has changed this year, but he's finally consistently seeing 30-plus minutes, and he's ripping down boards like it's his last day on planet Earth. Like, Clint Capella is playing some possessed basketball. And I know this is a really tough matchup, but I think it's okay to play Capella in any kind of pace of a game as long as he's seeing the minutes, you know? I mean, he can grab 15 rebounds, and there's really no rhyme or reason if he's going to block 3 to 5 shots, and I think he He has, you know, 45 point upside in pretty much any matchup. So I'm not saying that you should prioritize Clint Capela. I'm saying I would keep him in the tournament player pool.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get it. I am interested in Trey Young in this spot. This game is going to stay close. He's definitely going to be a part of it. So he's a guy I'm in on for sure. One guy that hasn't really been priced up this season is DeAndre Hunter. And so he's kind of this interesting tournament guy that you play for the couple times, you know, a month that he goes off for 30 fantasy points. Like, it could be valuable. This should be a close spot. I don't mind him as well.
Chicago and New Orleans. New Orleans on the second leg of a back-to-back. The Bulls, we are typically hesitant to play the big three because of their prices. But if you look on DK, we have Zach LaVine at 74, Vucevic at 73, and DeRozan's 81. So you can definitely play these guys. I wouldn't play them together, but with Zach LaVine and Vucevic not near that 8K mark on DK, I'm okay with having them in the player pool and setting some build rules here.
Yeah, I mean, how do you want to play it though? Like, what's kind of your? Are you saying you want to get in maybe one and not the other, or two? You know, yeah. Like how do you want to play it on the build rules?
Max of one, I think, is the way to go.
Gotcha.
I mean, Vucevic and LaVine have, you know, 50-point upside, I think, which would probably break the slate at those prices. So, I mean, other than the big three, I'm not really interested in anybody else in the Bulls, to be honest with you. And I'm not even that interested in DeRozan. It's more or less the other two guys.
Now, I will say DeRozan's getting down to 81. Like, he's getting close, right? Like, he's getting close to where we can start taking some shots. But I'm with you. Even at 8,100, like, it's not a fun roster at all. So, I'm with you 100%.
So the question is, on the Pelicans side of the ball, is Zion going to play? The Pelicans played on
Tuesday night,
and they beat Memphis, and Zion did not play. And Brandon Ingram was okay.
He was rolling, and he just quit scoring.
Yeah, McCollum had a nice fantasy productive day. You know, Valanciunas, a little bit of a clunker as well. So the Zion news is big here. You know, that opens the door up for Larry Nance and Trey Murphy to get some run. They're both pretty cheap and would be some decent value. So we just need the Zion news. We don't know if he's going to play. And, you know, if he's out, then you're going to want to look into the Pelicans for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And then with the prices, too, like CJ and the gang have kind of started to come down a little bit as a result. Now, B.I. is still 8,500. I don't want to play Brandon Ingram at 8,500 in any scenario where just one of them are out. Like, for me to play B.I. at 8,500, I'd almost need JV out, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like B.I., but at 8,500, he's going to hurt us more than he helps us most of the time at that price.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good take. Want to go to Cleveland? And Donovan Mitchell.
Let's do it.
Donovan Mitchell's a game time decision. Darius Garland coming off of a 70 bomb. And Jared Allen's out. So there's some moving parts to be had in this game as well. And so, where do you go from here? If we know Jared Allen's out, so let's start there. You got to have interest in Evan Mobley. 6,200, I think, is a fair price. You know, Milwaukee's going to play pretty fast, so I don't mind Evan Mobley with the absence of Jared Allen. You would think he'd play significant minutes for sure to help fill the void of Jared Allen. We know Mobley plays a lot as it is, but I mean, if this is a close game, he could push 40 minutes potentially.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. The thing about Cleveland, though, is if Mitchell is out, I want to run it back with LeVert again. Like at 6,100, he's kind of the cheap. He only played 28 minutes against Minnesota. Don't look now, folks. Minnesota was blowing Cleveland. I mean, they were blowing the doors off Cleveland at one point. and Darius Garland just went nuclear. So I still feel really, really confident in the fact that LeVert is still the best player on this team if guys are missing. For the price, for the price.
Yeah, I like Garland on FanDuel at 78 if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play.
Absolutely.
If Donovan Mitchell does
9K play, on DK, though, which is very, man, much more inflated.
Well, how about Donovan Mitchell's 10K on FanDuel?
Yeah, no, and I'm he's not actually, touching that.
I mean, he's coming off a 60-point game, 50 before it. I get it, but I'm not playing him either.
Yeah.
If Donovan Mitchell does play, I'm not playing Darius Garland. I guess it's, for me, it's as easy as that.
I'm with you 100%.
What's your take? You have any Kevin Love interest with the absence of Jared Allen?
I have some. I really wish we saw more minutes from him in that previous game. And what I'm saying, he played 29 minutes. Like, but game was, it was a good game. I want to see if we can get into like the low to mid 30s while Allen is out. I think at 5,600, you still roll the dice. But what I hate the most, Luch, is, you know, Kevin Love was kind of my secret weapon for GPPs. And that's pretty much evaporated now that Allen is out and everybody's going to decide to play him if he gets the minutes.
Yeah, I mean, 4,900 on FanDuel. If you're going to give me 29 Kevin Love minutes, I'm okay with that, definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Giannis, 11,800 on FanDuel and 12,600 on DK. I know it's Cleveland. And I know Giannis coming off a little bit of an injury here. He only played 31 minutes against Atlanta. The game was a little out of control, though, and he fouled out. And he had 8 turnovers. A little bit of rust.
Oh, yeah.
But Giannis is matchup proof. I don't care who he's playing. He's got 70-plus point upside against absolutely anybody. So if you're asking me, am I out on Giannis because of the matchup, the answer is no. Giannis, I'm always in on Giannis.
Always, always, and more always. At 12-6, you know, he's always going to crush. Like, for instance, a bad game for Giannis is 40 fantasy points. I want us to sit back and think about that. Like, that's a bad game. That should tell you the upside he has. And speaking of that, don't look now, folks. And it wasn't great. Giannis shot 18 free throws in the Atlanta game. 18. And has been shooting roughly double digits every night. It's insane, really. And we know why. Like, they're going to force him to shoot at the line from time to time. But, you know, when a guy – like, that's just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, Luke, for Giannis to continue to pile up the fantasy points. Absolutely going to be the leader of this team. And, you know, we're going to continue to see him thrive. You know, and if Drew Holiday comes back, you know, look out. This team's going to just take off yet again.
Dallas and Houston. Dallas on the second leg of a back-to-back. We know what Dallas does. They play slow and they play good defense. I want to start with Houston. It's tough to play these guys when they're healthy at these prices we're seeing them at. But I do have interest in Jalen Green because he's on a complete tear. Coming off of a 45 DK point game against the Clippers, who also play slow. But if you're going to give me 35-plus minutes of Jalen Green, which is what he's been getting, I'll roll the dice and correlate him with some of my Luka Doncic shares. Now he's shooting.
Yeah, he is on a tear.
He is shooting well over 50% from the floor the last, you know, week or so, which, you know, you're going to get some regression for sure. He's not a 50% field goal percentage kind of guy. But, you know, when the stove's hot, you got to cook on it. So I'm okay with some Jalen Green, but I don't want him by himself. I want him attached to my Luka shares for Dallas. What are your thoughts on Houston?
I don't want to play anybody from Houston, really. Dallas is a good defensive team, and I have seen Houston just fold with good defense. So I'm kind of out on this game, man. You know, with Dallas, I like Luka, but I'm kind of out on this game as a whole. And Dallas should – really crushed in here, but everything's going to run through Luka anyway. So I'm out on this game.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. I'm don't have a ton of interest outside of Jalen Green, and that's pretty much it for me. Yeah, I mean Eric Gordon's cheap, but you know with everyone back and he might not play 30 minutes, I'm out on Eric Gordon. Luka, I don't know what else to say. You know, maybe there's a downside chance Luka gets a seat against Houston. Maybe. Maybe on the second leg of a back-to-back. I there's no validity behind that. I'm just saying maybe he wants a break. It's Houston. So if Luka sits, obviously you have interest in pretty much all these other guys on Dallas because of the matchup with Houston. That's a big
yeah, absolutely. Big yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, two more left. New York also on the second leg of a back-to-back. Mitch Robinson still out. No surprises here. Hartenstein did get the start on Tuesday. Denver is where things are getting dicey. Jokic is not playing. He's in health and safety protocols. Aaron Gordon's questionable. Bones Highland is doubtful, but he was upgraded from out. God, I love the NBA. The only league where someone's out and then not out.
Yeah.
So we have some things to talk about here. And your first thought is, okay, Jokic is out. Who's his backup? I want to play his backup. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong to look for DeAndre Jordan. He's probably going to start at center. There's nothing wrong with that. But where I want to look at, and I know you're going to look at, is the usage upticks for Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., who are priced, fairly priced, all things considered. If Jokic,
Michael Porter Jr. is 5,900 on DK.
But with Jokic out, these guys are squarely in play. And he's 62 on FanDuel. Murray's 64 on FanDuel and 65 on DK. I love both of these guys without Jokic. I do. What say you?
They're going to vault probably to the top of most people's list. And I don't think this is going to be a secret because this guy has actually been crushing. Bruce Brown, 5,100. He's going to be squarely in play, 37 and 32 minutes in back-to-back games, and now we get no Jokic. This thing I also think is going to be in play here. I'm wondering what they're going to do with the elder statesman, Jeff Green. Like, are they going to give him some extra minutes? I'm just not sure about how they're going to handle it. But, you know, this could be a good spot for Denver here and an equally good spot for the New York Knicks. You know, Randall in the game, Randall 8,200. Just an okay price, RJ 64. This could be a good spot for RJ in this spot and a good spot for Brunson. Don't look now, folks. Denver is not playing great defense, and they're getting up and down the court because Jamal Murray is back. And I really like this spot for Jamal Murray at 6,500, no Jokic.
Yeah, I like both of those guys on Denver, and I think their sidecar pieces are also going to be squarely in the player pool, the KCPs, the Bruce Browns, especially – if Bones Highland stops getting upgraded from out to doubtful to maybe to who knows. So definitely keep an eye on all that. And if Aaron Gordon plays, you got to consider him too. You got to consider Murray, Porter, Aaron Gordon to be integral parts of your player pool. And you come on here, you come on this pod and you've said it. The Knicks are pretty good defensively, but where have they struggled against? Point guards. It's kind of screaming Jamal Murray, right?
Absolutely. Jamal Murray's at the top of my list, and Porter's just a price, no Jokic play. I think he's going to get there just on pure opportunity.
Golden State and Phoenix. Klay Thompson didn't play on Monday. I'm assuming he'll play on Wednesday. Steph Curry's 10-5. He's been fantastic. All right, let's hear it. Are you in on anybody on Golden State?
I mean, I feel like I should be because of the spot. Like that's what it feels like. So here's something that I think was important that we probably haven't talked about. They sent James Wiseman back down to the G League. So he's gone. And I feel like essentially what they're saying is, hey, let's figure it out with these other guys. So Curry's going to play. Klay Thompson at 5,700, I do think is interesting because the minutes are up in the 30s now. So I'm about at the point, Luch, where I'm going to play Klay Thompson every night, no matter what, at this price. Wiggins at 6,800, I think that's a great price for him. Didn't play well against the or didn't have to do much against the Spurs as they blew these guys out. But we've seen his potential this season consistently. I feel like I'm more on Wiggins and Klay Thompson than Curry and the rest of these guys. But that's purely a price play. And Curry's been phenomenal for what it's worth.
For me, it's Curry and probably Curry only. And I think, I mean, if I'm multi-entering, I don't know what my social life schedule is tomorrow night, so I can't make that promise with this messed up slate. But I would want to use Curry as my conditional player and have Devin Booker attached to Curry shares. Or what should I say? Maybe I said that backwards. I want Steph Curry. No, I did say that right. Devin Booker, I would play freely, but wherever there's Steph Curry, I would want Devin Booker in layman's terms. I'm okay with Devin Booker on Phoenix, 9,200. Chris Paul is questionable. I've heard no updates, so I haven't heard anything promising. I'm just gonna assume that Chris Paul doesn't play at this point tomorrow, Chief, until we start hearing some positive news out of Suns camp. And I know Golden State, listen, they're not the defensive mogul that they've been. They're struggling defensively. They still play really fast. I'm playing Devin Booker all day at 9,200. Absolutely.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And the thing about it is, as much as we talk about LeBron James being old and father time catching up to him, folks, Chris Paul is in the same boat. Like, these guys have been playing a lot of basketball. And, you know, they're near the end of their careers. Chris Paul did a lifestyle change, I think, and went vegan, which I do feel like has helped to extend his career, Luch. But it's merely an extension. He's not the same Chris Paul. And folks, guess what? LeBron James is not the same LeBron. And as these guys get older, guess what? They probably need to sit a couple games this season. And I think, you know, I don't think they bring these guys back. I don't think Chris Paul comes back until he's healthy. And I don't think it's necessarily his choice. I think the team and the doctors are saying, look, Chris, we appreciate what you've done for us. We want you to be completely healthy. We don't want you to be able to just play. We want you back 100%. If that means that right now you can actually come out here and play basketball, but you're at 80%, let's get you all the way back to 100, my guy. You've done well in your career. These guys can handle and tread water until you get back. And when you get back, the troops will be galvanized.
Let's play this game. Do you have DraftKings pricing up in front of you yet, Chief?
Oh, yeah, I got it. DraftKings pricing is up, my brother.
Let's play this little game. I know Stevie does the morning grind game. Let's do this a little different. Let's go through a couple tiers here. Let's look at the studs on this slate. Luka, Giannis, Tatum, and Curry are all over 10K. How do you rank those guys with the information that we have at this very moment?
I think if you had to go with a nod for a stud, it's got to be Luka. He's playing Houston. Like, that's – you take Luka, you move on.
Okay. Yeah, I think I can't decide if Curry or Tatum will be the forgotten one. I think people are going to look at that Curry price against Phoenix, and he might be the odd man out. And I think for large field purposes, I think he could be an interesting late-night hammer correlated with Devin Booker. So I'm with you. I think, you know, Luka has crazy upside. It is Houston. But I think Curry is just so sneaky on this slate. Absolutely sneaky. How about the 9K range? Let's take a look there. And this is interesting because SGA is in this range. Let's just assume Tyrese Halliburton plays. We have a loaded little 9K range here. Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Donovan Mitchell, SGA, Tyrese Halliburton, Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns, and Jimmy Butler. Can you give me your two favorite in the 9K range? How about that?
Booker and Butler.
Yeah, I think Butler has a really high floor.
I take that back. Give me SGA.
I think Booker's my favorite play. I do like SGA a lot.
I think mine is SGA the more I think about it.
If Tyrese Halliburton plays, I think he's my second. I think he's pushing Booker for me in this territory. I'm glad he's finally over 9K, giving this guy the respect he deserves. And if he plays, I think he goes for 50 plus against Charlotte. So Booker and Halliburton for me. Anything else you want to get off your chest? I'm not going to go into the 8K range because there's a million different ways we could go. But I thought that was fun to rank some of our high-end guys on this slate. Anything else you got for me tonight, Will Priester?
No, sir, my brother. I am good to go.
All right. Well, we will be back with some more morning grind action to close out the week. I know Grant and Keith are doing some NFL stuff. And then I'll be on with our guy Dre later this week to talk some more hoops. And I'm sure you got a lot going on at Roto Grinders yourself, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Always stuff going on with the company. And trust me, I couldn't be happier to participate in such a great company. So anything I can do to help anybody out there, whether it be talk to you one-on-one, you know, please let me know. I'm here for you guys.
Cool. That's Chief Justice 06. This is the Looch. That was NBA basketball. Hope you guys have a great day. Good luck, and we'll see you next time.